The Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast with Bhairav Patel and Alan Clark.
Welcome to the Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast, where we tackle the practical challenges that startup founders and small business owners face and give our own unvarnished opinions. My name is Bhairav Patel. I'm the Managing Director at Atom Ventures and Atom CTO, where we partner with small businesses and startup founders to help them define and build their tech vision.
And I'm Alan Clark. I'm the founder of the Business Growth Partnership, and we work with high-potential businesses to help them unblock the blockages that are preventing them from reaching their full potential. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the podcast. This is one that I have been keen to do for ages, and I don't know why we've never got around to it now, but we have now. I am a bit of a Luddite when it comes to technology. I am certainly not at the early adopter queue of anything. And I've got a bit of a habit of, well, if I've got a way of doing it that ain't broke, why would I try something new? But regularly, people introduce me to bits of technology, and 6 months later, I think, how did I ever get by without this? But I don't go and search them out. It's just not my modus operandi. I don't know if that's because of my age or stage or whatever. But thankfully, I know a guy who does know a lot about technology. So today, Bhairav, what I would love to learn a bit more about is how should a business owner design their technology for business strategy?
So I think the main thing here is for everyone listening is that regardless of whether you consider yourself a tech business or like a SaaS business or whatever it is, right? A tech driven business, you will need technology within your company, right? And whether that's a one man band, whether that's what you're doing, Alan, or whether that's how we work at even at Atom, right? There is some sort of technology element that is required as part of any business, right? And I think what people assume or kind of miss out on is that, you know, everyone assumes that, you know, you need to spend lots of money on technology, right? You need to then build big grand things in order for your business to succeed. And that's not really the case because, you know, you can run a business on Excel in many cases, right? And that's the technology you need to use. And that's exactly what's right for you.
And I might suggest that's the kind of level that I default to.
Yeah. And then once you...
It's part of my life for 25 years and you know what? It ain't broken. So why fix it?
I think Excel is the number one tool used by investment bankers, right? So if Excel went away, you would have a huge issue with essentially banking, finance. But the way I always look at this is before I, when we're at it, when we're talking to companies about technology or implementing technology, we always start with the processes, right? And it's the fundamentals of any business. What are you doing? How are you doing it? Where are you doing it? When are you doing it? And why are you doing it? Right? And who are your stakeholders? So it's your employees, your vendors, your third, like suppliers, whatever it is, and your customers. So think about it in that sense. Think about who your stakeholders are. So for example, if it's your customers or your employees or the third parties, what are they doing it? What are they doing? Sorry. How are they doing it? Where are they doing it? When are they doing it? And why are they doing it? And that is the very basic for any kind of business, right? I know that let's say, for example, it's an e-commerce business. I know my customers are buying beauty products online and I'm delivering it to them. So my staff are doing customer service, packaging the product, sending it out, right? And dealing with finance. So all of these things are just simple processes that you have, and you don't have to have any technology in any of that, right? You could like back in the old days, we used to sell things by phone, right? And
I worked for a long time before, well, you know what? There was technology back then.
You know, in the Stone Ages.
If it's basically as, well, we moved from adding up longhand to having calculators. So when we say we don't do tech, well, that's totally nonsense. Everybody has always used technology to some extent.
Yes, exactly. And I think what I guess, one of the biggest issues that I have, not issues, but one of the key challenges I have when I'm talking to businesses is that they don't understand their own processes, right? And we try to get people to explain those things. And then once you understand how are people interacting with your business, then we can understand whether you need, how much technology you really need to build, or what you can buy off the shelf, or what you can do. And I think that's, to me, the fundamental starting point, right? So you've got a client who buys, who takes plastic from the ocean and makes it into plant pots, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in that case, they probably need some sort of inventory management, needs to understand some sort of selling mechanism, right? And it's those bits that you know that would be very difficult for you to do manually that you try and automate and add technology in. Because the whole purpose of technology is to make your life easier, right? And it's for you to scale at some point in time. But you don't need to spend a whole amount of money on it, and you don't need to put it in at every place. So, for example, he might be taking pictures of the plots and then putting them online. That can all be a manual process, right? You don't have to do that in any kind of automated way. And you need a little bit of technology to help you there, right? So I think it's really understanding what we try to say to businesses is we say, don't build a lot early. Build once you've got your business going. Build those things that you need in order for you to generate revenue, make some money, and increase your profits, right? From day one. And then as you grow and as you scale, you'll understand those pain points that you have that can be automated, or can be that some technology can help you. And that's the key, because a lot of people come to us wanting to build everything. And it goes back a little bit to some of the podcasts we did around product market fit and knowing your customer. The biggest issue that people have, I feel that people have, is that they feel that they need to build everything all at once in order for the customer to feel that there's real value in what they're selling. But actually, that's not the case. Most of the times, when we're working with startups, you know, the things that they're doing 6 months down the line are not what they envisioned 6 months before. The market changes, and the market will tell you exactly what needs to be done and exactly what they want. And if you don't have money in the pot to do it because you spend it all on tech, then you're screwed.
How important do you find that it usually is that it's the technology that allows the business to do what it does, or the business does what it does, and the technology just helps it do it? So the emphasis there being on technology is at the heart of our business, or technology is simply a facilitator of what we do?
There's very few businesses where technology is purely the heart of the business, right? Cybersecurity is a good example, right? Where you've got products that are highly intelligent, helping you to stay safe on in your corporate life. Now that is a product that was built, and then someone went and figured out that there's a market for it, right? So there's a, but generally, like 99.9% of businesses, technology is really just a byproduct, or it's something that helps you, enables the growth of sales. Very few, like e-commerce is a great example. You could still sell products without a website, right? People do every day.
Yeah.
There's a huge number of companies out there. You can still be a barber without a website, right? You could, most businesses don't need huge amounts of technology in order to succeed. There are, where you have a pure, let's say, day to play, or where it is something that's really key in tech. So again, like I said, cybersecurity, even fintech, right? Like things like Revolut. You could do Revolut, without all of the fancy tech that they've got, right? But it's the fancy tech that helps them, because banks have denied it for years without the fancy tech, right? The fancy tech is the thing that they're selling. But behind that is hundreds and hundreds of people, right? Still doing compliance, still doing AML stuff, still doing regulatory, compliance. So I think you've got to look at it that tech is an enabler, right? Tech is not the solution 100% of the time. It's an enabler for you to gather more sales. It's a tool in your toolbox. An app is not a business. That's what I always say to companies. An app is not a business. Your business is more than just a website, or more than just a mobile application.
Okay. So I get that. I'm in my early stage business. I've mapped out my processes. I'm actually doing it in a way that does not rely on lots of technology. How do I start then moving from that position to then adopting technology and bringing it into the business? How do I? What's the most important thing to do? Where do I start?
So again, it goes back into one of the fundamentals of being an entrepreneur, right, is that you can't do everything yourself, right? You have 100 different jobs to do and you can't do it all yourself. So let's say, for example, you're a consulting business, as you have and as we have, right? One of the things we can't do ourselves is a sales pipeline, right? We want to do some outreach. We want to try and get to the people. You'll use technology in order to do that. So you'll use something like maybe a HubSpot that maybe has an online form where people can come and give you inquiries, and you can go out and use your CRM system for that. That's where, rather than you having an Excel spreadsheet with it all, you can send out automated emails, link that into whatever it is, MailChimp or whatever it is, and send out email. That's where you're looking at building technology. It's trying to do things where for you to do that yourself would be very hard or time consuming. And you're trying to lessen the time and increase
I understand that, but in your experience, are there any common themes to where businesses start on their technology business? So is it in customer service? Is it in client or prospect engagement? Is it in automating internal processes?
I'd go back to your business processes. Be wherever your bottlenecks are. That's where people start with technology. It's wherever your bottlenecks are. A great example is Aztec, right? So this is a company that did global supply chain finance. And what I said at the very beginning is that we're not building, you know, there's a back end process. We had like 20 people in our processing team from day one, right? And what I said is that we're not automating everything from day one, because the things that you think are important now may not be what's important in 6 months' time. And so what we did was, there was a few manual processes when we figured out that within 3 months that I could save 10 minutes of everybody, or like an hour of everybody's time. So I could save 20 hours a day. That's what I automated.
I'm sure we've all got our stories of people we've met who said, oh man, we invested all this time and effort in developing this system, and then just as it was about to come in, we realized that wasn't the problem at all.
Yeah, 100%.
So that comes down to just good due diligence.
The biggest issue is vanity, right? Every IT project that fails because of vanity. Because people want something too soon, they want it too much, and they don't actually think about the bare knuckles of what it is that they need to provide to their customers. So, you know, we get people coming to us with what they think is an MVP, so a minimal viable product, which is not an MVP at all. It's actually a finished product. And so what you really want to do is you want to take chunks out of that, right? Because you don't know. You think you know what the market wants. Until you're actually out there in front of your audience, your customers, you can't understand. Like, it's until that point in time that you'll know when or what it is that you should be developing more on. And every single startup ever that I've worked at over the last 20 odd years has not done what they said they're going to do in the first 6 months after a year, right? Everything changes. I'll give you a really good example. One of the companies that we built some technology for, a company called Sophia. It's a great company. They do, what they wanted to do was build online, bring together tutors and, kids online. So essentially what you're doing is you're all to the home. So essentially what you're doing is that if you want to give your kids math tutoring or physics tutoring, you can find a tutor in your local area and anything.
Yeah.
Now, pretty much as soon as they launched, they found there was demand. COVID hit, and actually they just pivoted to online schools. So now they run an online school, which is fantastic, right? But the money spent on the MVP is hardly used. And I think that the key thing here is that what you want to be able to do is save some cash. I'm not saying that they did anything wrong. They did everything the right way, but you know, they're a great example of someone who thought they were going to do one thing and actually ended up doing something completely different, right?
Yeah.
And if they hadn't built in a much more structured way, they wouldn't have had the cash to be able to pivot as easily, right? And I think this is the key. It's you don't know your market until you're actually in the market.
So that leads me on to a question then. Early on in my business, I am absolutely not polishing the rough edges of my beautifully formed business. And I'm looking at challenges that I have. Where should I sit on the choice between, or where should my perspective be on the choice between buy it off the shelf, but it might not be perfect, or build my own, and aim to get the perfect result, but I'm all the risk involved in building your own.
And again, this goes back to your processes. So I would say if there's a product off the shelf that does 80% of what you need to do, then buy it, right? And your 20% of your secret sauce could be manual if needs be, right? And then you can figure out over time whether this works for you or not. And I think one of the key things is that people just assume that if they build custom, it's always going to be exactly how they want it, you know, how their business will run. But you end up ultimately when you're with custom builds changing it as you change your business, right? And I think, again, if you're early stage startup, you want to buy off the shelf, figure out that 80%, get someone else to kind of do the 80% of the work, figure out your 20%, which is your secret sauce. And then once you've really figured that out, then build the custom, right? Then
I love that. You've now actually, you know me well enough, you've quantified a qualitative challenge for me. And it's 80%. Because I've sat with so many people who have said, but it's not exactly what we need. We're going to build our own. And having been through businesses that have built their own, I've never, ever been through a build that went entirely according to plan, precisely to the timeline, and exactly on budget. Some have actually been more straightforward, it turned out. And some, we have been sitting going, will you ever actually finish this? Well, every time we uncover another page, we've got more problems that we didn't realise were going to be there. And in those cases, I've always said, why didn't we just buy that thing that we should have had 6 months ago?
So what we do at Atom, and what I always have done with startups that I advise, is we spend a lot of time up front before we build anything, right? We do a lot of time analyzing, again, who your stakeholders are, what your business processes are, who's doing what and why and when and how and all that kind of stuff, right? And then we go back and say, okay, yes, this can be custom, but actually you can use this other product in order for you to get what you need. And then once you're up and running and you need to scale, then maybe we can build something on the side. So this is where a lot of companies fall down, because they just go straight into the build and they don't think about, they don't lay the groundwork of what it is I need and how much of it do I really need.
Well, is that a red flag then? If I was speaking to a development company, they say, look, let's just get going.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
I said, no, stop. You are not the company for me.
Yeah. I mean, again, this is what a lot of people balk at, is they balk at this kind of discovery phase, which is 100% necessary. Like, you can't do any kind of, so think about building a house, right? If I go up to a dude on the street and say, oh, I want a house. They're going to say, okay, how many bedrooms do you want, ensuite? How many rooms do you want? Do you want a garage? Do you want a patio? All of that kind of stuff, right? And you'll sit there with an architect and figure out exactly what it is that you want to build, right? Most people with tech think about it completely different. I need an app. Like, why do you need an app? What's the app going to do? How many people is it going to be for, right? It's the same questions, but people, for some reason, when it comes to technology, just want to throw a lot of money at it. And we sit back and say, no.
This is a truism across all creative industries, and I consider development to be a creative industry, because you're creating something that doesn't exist when you start out. That is creativity for me. And a wise old owl that I worked with a long time ago, because there's a human inclination to just get doing it, get started. And he said, a third of our time should be spent making sure we completely understand what it is we're aiming to do before we start building or developing anything. And when I say building or developing, when I was given this advice, it was back in the day of creating advertising campaigns. So, you know, what is the idea? What does it look like? How would it manifest itself? What words would the characters in the ad say? What words and pictures would be on the poster? And it seemed like an inordinate amount of time, a third of our time. So if the client's paying us 50 grand, we should spend 17,000 quid working out exactly what the answer is. And only actually spend 33 grand in that example, actually coming up with a solution. Because virtually everybody wants to spend 50 grand coming up with a solution.
I 100% agree. And I think what I find, you know, what gobsmacks me the most when it comes to dealing with entrepreneurs is that they don't think about the return on investment. I mean, I'm a very heavy believer in ROI, right? And if you haven't planned and understood what it is that you're trying to do and then what you're going to get out of it, then why are you starting it? Right. So a lot of people come to us and say that I need all of these different things. And I'll kick back and say, well, actually, why? Because adding this feature was going to cost you an extra X amount of money. How do you know that that feature is going to bring you in that revenue? Right. And when I question it as a virtual CTO, there's a bit of kind of, you know, you're there as an equal in that many senses. But a lot of people don't like that kind of questioning because it they feel that they need it. But actually, it's freaking business, man. You can't, every penny you spend is important. That extra X amount of money you're spending on technology is X amount you're not spending on sales, right? So tell me how exactly this technology is going to help you increase your sales, right? Because that's what you need to do or reduce your cost base.
Absolutely. I suspect we will return to this whole subject matter regularly going forward because I've got a million questions I want to ask. But there's two that I certainly want to cover today before we finish off. One of my biggest problems, because I'm not really involved terribly much in bespoke development, although some of my clients do it, but you know, I kind of shy away because I think there's people more better placed than I am to advise on that. But when you're at my level of understanding, and I've sat down and I've done, followed your very wise advice about mapping my business processes and identifying where technology can actually make the biggest difference. My problem is, I then go and look for a solution and I am completely overwhelmed with choice. And then when I begin to try and narrow it down, I'm still left with half a dozen options that are barely distinguishable from each other. How the heck do I know which one to choose? Any advice on how to make sure that one makes the wise choice?
So it depends a little bit on what it is that you're trying to try out. So there's a lot of, with a lot of the kind of SaaS companies, there's free trials, right? And you can try that out and figure out whether it's right for you or not. I think a lot of the time, it goes back to what I said at the very beginning, right? It's understanding your processes and what covers it. So if you find something that covers 80% and maybe you have three different tools that cover 80% of your needs, great. Then it becomes other issues, right? Then it becomes cost issue. It comes to ease of use. It becomes, you know, is this something that if I had an extra team members that it's going to cost me twice as much every time I add on a new person. It becomes other issues, right? These are the other things that you start thinking. Then you start thinking like a business person, right? You start thinking, well, actually, there are three different things in front of me. They all can do the same thing. What are the characteristics of each of those three different things? And if I need to increase my, you know, increase my usage, what will it cost me?
I understand that. I kind of hope you're going to give me a different answer. And this might not exist in my nice and simple world. I was kind of hoping you'd say, this is really straightforward. Go on to which, and look up the which Best Buy advisor. You know, I would do that if I was buying a washing machine. And they all look the same to me. They're all white, they're all washed clothes, and they've all got lots of buttons. But I trust the independence of which, if it says that's the Best Buy at under £500, I buy that.
Yeah, but see,
know more about that than I do.
See, the issue is here, right? Is it's like picking an Indian restaurant to go and eat a curry at, right? So you want to go and eat, you want to eat a chicken tikka masala, right? And you've got three restaurants, like there's 50 restaurants probably in Glasgow that can sell you a chicken tikka masala, right?
Yep.
Which one do you go for? You go and read the reviews and you go and you pick that
you
one.
You go to the Koyanur who invented chicken tikka masala.
Yeah. And then you're figuring out, okay, so yeah, I'm going because it's based on the reviews and you go and eat and you think, well, this is average, right? So until you try, you don't know, right? And you've got to essentially what you'll do is you'll take the reviews, but actually you don't have other people's taste buds, right? You don't know what other people like.
Yeah, but the problem is when you don't know what good tastes like, you have to rely, or one option is to rely on someone else. So I take the point of the stretcher analogy of restaurants. I know if that restaurant has got two Michelin stars, the food will be good. Now, it may not be my taste, but there's no doubting that that was top notch. Whereas I wander down the avenue and there's a dozen restaurants, I have no idea which one is likely to deliver the best food.
And again, so this is
kind of hoping that you might have said, look, you know, in the world of online, you know, what I say to people is, have a look at the number of reviews on Google. And if there's less than 1,000, don't believe them. If there's more than 1,000 and 98% are 5-star, don't believe that either. But have a look for lots of reviews. Look at the best, look at the worst, and take a balanced view.
Yeah, see, I think that's fine, but you know, you can do that, but actually it's all because like I said, a lot of companies have these trials. It's try before you buy. What's an interesting, let's say for example, there's one of our clients up in Scotland who's looking at point of sale systems, right? So they're looking at, you know, their ordering mechanisms for people who he's got a restaurant and people can order food at the tables. So what they're looking at is pretty much there's, I don't know, 50 companies out there that can do, you know, you press a button and order a sandwich, right? That you can do that for most people. So the question then becomes is that, okay, for him, it's important that they have Android apps rather than iPad apps, right? Fine. So who has an Android app? What's their customer service like? Can you integrate with that application, right? That's what you need to start looking at. It's not necessarily all about what other people think about it. Is that if you wanted to use this and you want to scale with it, what are the different things that you can do in order for you to grow with that business, right?
And that leads me on to my final question, because you completely avoided giving me a solution to that problem. Yeah.
Trustpilot.
When should I think about engaging a CTO?
I think as early as possible, right? Obviously, I would say that generally. But I think if no one needs a, like, a full-time CTO is unnecessary unless you're turning over millions and you... if you're actually doing it.
If you're a full-on tech company, it's bloody obvious you need a CTO. But I'm thinking more like, I'm thinking of a company I work with now, turns over 1.7 million pounds. It's moved from a very analog approach to a very digitalized online approach to business, largely driven by the brother of the owner who did computer science at university, has never worked anywhere else, and has built lots of it on bespoke tech that the business now runs on. And now that we're 15 years into it, there's an acknowledgement that a lot of it needs, I think the word might be refactoring, maybe I've got that wrong, but
no, that's right.
It's no longer as appropriate as it was when it was built 8 years ago. And if we don't address it, it will fall over. So I think of that analogy or that example, and I think you can probably do it with somebody pretty heavyweight who isn't going to build anything for them. But we'll just make sure they've got that aligned. So that's a pretty small business that actually can do with a CTO. Now, Alan Clark, the work that I do through my business, the last thing in the world I need is a CTO. But what is absolutely helpful for somebody in my position, because you never answered my last question, is just having someone that I can talk to and say, I think I should actually organize my workflow better. I don't want to go and do loads of research and loads of free trials. Can you just help get me something that's good for me and then help me get it in place?
So I think every company, even yours, let's say, for example, Alan Clark, the Business Growth Partnership, right? I think that could do with some advice early on. I think everyone, actually, very early on, could use with some sort of virtual CTO or some sort of technology advice. Now, what is interesting?
Let me just do a little bum up for those of us that are in Scotland listening to this. That's Business Gateway, and that is a product called Digital Boost, and that has the potential to provide 3 days one-to-one expert help from somebody to help you identify the digital tools whatever those happen to be that can help improve your business. But in the absence of digital boost, or if you've used your digital boost, I'm just interested to know your thoughts. You know, should we all have our, and I don't want to call them a consultant, because actually what I would like them to think of is, are they part of my team, but they're just not permanently employed?
Yeah. Yeah, I think personally, I think every business should have someone who's there, who sits at the C level, C-suite level, right? So it sits with the business owners or the chief operational officer, whatever it is, right? They can sit there and advise a little bit on technology. And it's not the same people that you use to manage your PCs, right? It's not the same person who manages your laptops. So for the example where you had previously, where there's a company that is reliant on software in order for them to do their business, they most certainly need to have someone involved who can look at the strategic aspect, because you've got to remember, what does a CTO do, right? And a CTO is pretty much 20% operational, 80% strategic, right?
Yeah.
Your role changes as you get into that C-suite position, because, you know, I mean, I've been through the ranks, right? And you initially start off with doing all the operations. Your IT director is essentially your operational person, but your CTO or CIO is the person who's actually thinking about it from a strategic angle. And everyone should have some sort of strategy when it comes to technology. I'll give you a really, really interesting example. There was a company that I went into, and they basically asked the question of, do we need a CTO? So they turn over 20, 30 million a year, and they actually sell software. So they sell software. They actually, I think it's a business, it's a Microsoft tool. They customize it and they sell it. And I went in and I did like a due diligence for 3-4 days. And I came back and said, you actually don't need a CTO. The business itself doesn't need a CTO. You need technical expertise to deliver what you deliver, but you don't need a CTO. This is a company that, you know, is valued at, you know, tens of millions, because their internal strategy is easy enough so the internal tools that they use can be managed within the company itself or the third party vendors that they have, because they're not reliant on technology in order for them to run their business, right? Whereas if you're a company that you mentioned where they've built technology and they're fully reliant on that technology in order to grow and scale their business, then you need a CTO. So it's a bit of a nuanced thing. But if you are heavily reliant on tech in order for you to deliver your products and services, then yes, you should have someone as a CTO or someone advising you at that very high level, strategically and operationally.
And then below that, for an operational level, it's not a CTO, but you should have somebody independent with knowledge in that area to make sure that you are actually getting the best value out of what is available there.
Independent or hired internally, right? Because a lot of times what you want is someone who can, let's say, for example, if your system goes down and your business doesn't work, you want someone internally that is there or understands how the business works, right?
Yeah. Excellent. Magic. Well, thank you for that. I'm not sure you actually helped me very much.
No.
I just wanted a simple do this, that, and the next thing, and that's it done. But like so many of the subjects we talk about, if it was that simple, everybody would do it.
Exactly. I think the key takeaways really are that if you're dependent on tech to run your business, make sure you have someone in there thinking strategically for you, right? If you want to build technology, figure out what do you really actually need to build and how, you know, how will it help you? What's your return on investment for the technology that you're actually building? And ensure that if you're a startup, I would suggest that you build less to begin with and then start automating as you progress, right? Think about the different things. There's a great matrix where you have low to high value and then low volume to high volume, right? So everything that's high value, high volume, you want to try and automate as much as possible.
Yeah.
Anything that is, and then anything that's low value, low volume, you just get rid of, right? That kind of stuff, right?
Okay, I'm going to do Unit 10 used to do, and finally, but I just want to share something that has really struck me over the last week or so with a couple of live examples of the world that we're living in now. You know, this webinar has been recorded in August 21. And it is an implication on all businesses now as a result of COVID, which is a lack of resources. So not that I'm desperately in the market for a new car, but I went into a dealership yesterday and had a look at a car and then asked the fateful question, If I ordered one today, when would I get it? And the guy was a bit sheepish and said, well, it'll certainly be next year, but when next year, we don't know.
Chip shortage, right?
Shortage of raw materials. I was out last night with my mates for a few beers, one of whom works in, well, very simply put, bricks for construction. And I said, Colin, how's it going? How's your world? He went, it is living hell. My customers love me because I've got a 30-year relationship with them, but they hate me because they can't build without bricks, and we haven't got any bricks to sell them. And when we'll have them, right now, if you ordered a brick from us, 6 months before we'd have it on site, at least. And this just seems to be pervasive. You know, I've talked about that printing company. They were very wise. They've bought in a year's worth of raw materials now, because they don't know what is going to run low, but they know materials will run low. And if you run out of cyan ink, you can't print anything. If you run out of Corex board, you cannot print anything on the Corex. And they were in the fortunate position of having both the working capital and the space to really load up on raw material. And that's just an observation to throw in there. It's a real issue for all sorts of businesses going forward.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I hope everyone found that podcast very interesting. And again, if you ever need to contact me, I'm a buyer of Atom CTO. So do a little plug.
Absolutely. We'll do more on this because I suspect I'm not alone in not waking up every morning and thinking, great, what's the next bit of technology my business needs to develop or use? But as we all know, inside out, technology is only going to become more and more and more important in every business. So on that note, I'll say goodbye from now.
Goodbye.
And see you later.
Many thanks for taking the time to listen to the podcast today. If you like what you hear, please leave a review or subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, all the main podcasting sites. And if you'd like to learn more from us, you can contact Alan. He's alan@tbgp.co.uk. And you can find me at info@atomcto.com.